And good morning. Welcome to another Health Editions program this Saturday morning. You're probably thinking to yourself, you know what? I just can't find myself sleeping in late today. I've got to get up and listen to Dr. Morgan on the radio because he's going to have something brilliant to tell me, especially about my health. Anyway, you know, it really is a choice that you make to set your alarm clock and join me on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock. I don't want to take that for granted. Thank you for all that you do to help others. Now, I didn't find it this morning. I looked for it, but I know it's in one book. And I think I looked through three and realized, okay, I know where it is now. But there was a study done years ago, and it was done in Russia, but where they gave these Russians thymus extract. Now, in case you don't know what the thymus gland is, it is a long, kind of irregular-shaped, two-lobed gland that is found just under the breastbone. You can't see it. If you're curious as to what it looks like, oh, you could easily Google, you know, pictures of the thymus gland from a human being. Or you can have a maybe anatomy textbook. But this is really a very interesting topic because in this one study, and I don't have the numbers for you exactly because I don't know what the dose was, but they gave these people in Russia calf thymus extract. They didn't give them human thymus extract, thank the good Lord. But they gave them thymus extract from a human, from a calf. And what I recall from the study was when they took this stuff long term, these people lived an average of 8 years longer than those that didn't take the thymus extract. Now, if you haven't heard this, your thymus gland is absolutely the largest gland of your immune system. Oh my goodness, the things that it does are incredible. I think it's one of the rare glands in the body that actually generates and manufactures what's called RNA, ribonucleic acid. Let me say it this way. If you want to heal, you might need some RNA. It's like a messenger that tells your body, hey, we need to rebuild tissues and rebuild the organs and make this person stronger. Because that's what healing's all about. As long as your body can repair damaged tissues and damaged cells and replace them with strong, healthy glands and tissues and cells, then everything in your body is going to be okay. But when your body starts breaking down so much faster than what it can repair, you're going to have health problems. That's all there is to it. And the reason why this topic can be so exciting is because the ball's in your court. You don't have to wait to get permission from a medical doctor or from a hospital administrator to tell you it's okay to take care of yourself. No. If anything, maybe when you listen to a program like this morning, you kind of start to think, man, maybe I could do this myself. Well, you already know how I feel about this. Are you kidding me? You have my blessing and my permission to do these things that are going to feed and nourish your body. And you know what my expectations are? You're going to become stronger. What can a human being do when they have more strength and when they have energy and they have hope? Well, they can cook a meal for their grandkids, or they could go to a neighbor's house and take them a meal, especially if they're shut in. Or they could hold the door open for a sweet lady that needs a little help. Or they could make someone's day. Your ticket to having the life of your dreams. I realize spiritual health is ultimately what's more important than anything else. Because if you're not right in that department, you're just not right at all. Everything else is going to be done in vain. But you got to have your physical health and your mental and your emotional health to be able to contend with all the different difficulties of this world. You got to be able to keep your goals in front of you, and you got to be able to move forward. I can tell you right now, it does absolutely zero good to complain or to be negative. None of it is good. So, but you have to discipline your mind to positively grasp onto that thing that's in front of you and move toward it. Even if you haven't seen the fruit of your labors yet? I mean, in the Bible, doesn't it tell us that faith is the very evidence of that thing which is not yet seen? Yeah, you got to believe and move forward to improving your health. I think we've bought into a lie, and that lie is that we're just going to take a drug and all of a sudden our health is going to be magically better. Maybe another way of saying that is, I'm going to rely so heavily on a pharmaceutical drug or a surgery to fix my health problems, that ain't going to work. You're going to have to take personal responsibility for your health in order for this to work. And when you take personal responsibility for your health, you can start saying to your body, you know, your mind controls your body. You have what's called the autonomic nervous system. It regulates how your heart beats and how you breathe at night when you're asleep and your digestive function. But ultimately, it is healing and repair. And one of those systems that your nervous system regulates when you're not even thinking about it is your immune system. And so your immune system, you want it to be robust and virulent where it can respond. So if you have a white blood cell like a natural killer cell that comes across a cancer cell, hey, you want it to corner it and beat it up and eat it for breakfast. And that's what your immune system does. Okay? Let me read this study to you. This is very fascinating. So I think I started thinking about this when I read that old study that Russians who took calf thymus extract, they lived 8 years longer than those that did not. I am not making this up. At least consider this. Maybe before I read this to you, let me say this right here. It's with pretty great frequency that I encounter a person that's just at the end of themselves. And I don't mind that. I'm not saying that I enjoy that for them. But you know what? It doesn't matter how I feel about it. Either we're going to come up with a plan that moves a person toward where they really want to be, or we're not. But recently I saw a young man that was diagnosed with an unusual cancer. And he was deteriorating rapidly, became very anemic. He did not respond well to the chemotherapeutics. I'm almost positive his oncologist only gave him a one-option plan. You either take the drugs that I want, or, well, what he told him was, he said, you don't care about yourself and you have a death wish. I don't see it that way at all. But one of the things that I gave this young man was thymus extract from a calf. And so I don't want you overthinking this. When someone, let's just say a fictitious man is named Jimmy, takes a cow to the meat processing facility, or if you want to call it the slaughterhouse, I'm okay with that too. Well, when they take the calf to the meat processing facility, if the men that are butchering the cow have been instructed to save the thymus gland, or the liver, or the thyroid, or the ovaries, just fill in the blank, whatever you want. If they've been instructed to save that, well, you know, that's where they get this stuff from. So when they harvest organs from a cow, they might set aside the thymus gland, where the thymus gland could be actually put in a food dehydrator at a low temperature, and you could remove the moisture from it. But that's what supplement companies have figured out, that they can just put it in tablet form or in capsule form, and you can swallow it. Well, lo and behold, guess what? As a person ages, their thymus gland begins to shrink and to atrophy, so they become weaker and weaker. You know what I'm saying is correct. And I'm not trying to overpromise this is the fountain of youth, but I cannot make up that observational study that those that took thymus extract, they lived on average 8 years longer than those that collectively did not take it. Okay? Well, here's what I want you to consider this morning. This came out of Wuhan, China. Okay, here goes. And just, you know, don't overthink this right here. But, you know, this can be encouraging, especially if you need to hear this. If this causes you to rethink what you can do to help yourself, then I've done my job here. So I want to be encouraging. Here we go. in an astounding study the public has not heard about. The subcutaneous, which means under the skin injection of just 1.6 milligrams of a thymus gland hormone, it's called thymusin alpha 1 for 7 days, among patients, get this, they gave them just a small injection of thymus extract for 7 days among patients with severe deathbed COVID-19 coronavirus disease symptoms. Well, in the study, it showed it dramatically increases the T cell. Did I say T cell? I meant T cell counts. And it slashes the mortality rate by 272%. Hey, folks, I don't know if you know what the number 272% means, but that means that 272% didn't have mortality or die. And it's all without side effects. There are no side effects. Even aspirin has a side effect. So when you take something from nature and you inject it into a human being and there's no side effects, I mean, doesn't that kind of speak volumes that it's like a pretty safe substance? Okay. This astounding study, which emanates from Wuhan, China, which of course was the initial epicenter for the COVID-19 pandemic, it indicates that there is a life-saving remedy for severe COVID-19 coronavirus infections. It's here right now. Have you heard about this? Well, it's the first I'm hearing about it. Of course, I'm sharing it with you. The report published in the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases is a landmark study because of its demonstrable effect even among the most severely ill patients facing imminent death. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine if you had a loved one that was in intensive care and the doctor said, hey, I just read this report from the Journal of Clinical Infectious Disease and it says it works. You want to try it? Well, you know what they're going to say? Heck yeah, let's try it. In a parallel study published in the journal International Immunopharmacology, short-term thymus gland hormone treatment, that's 5 or more days, dramatically reduced survival at the 28-day point, but not 60-day mortality, presumably because the treatment was not continued. They only did it for 5 days. So they only gave it for 5 days, but it drastically improved people's survival rates. And I'm just reading part of that study right here. In recent times, it's become evident that T cells, which are the white blood cells produced in your thymus gland, and you have a thymus gland, but that's what I want you to think about as I tell you these things. What can we do, that means you and me, to improve the function of your thymus gland? Because if you get the thymus gland produces T cells, that's actually showing in this study to be superior to antibodies. Who would have thought that? Of course, that may not be a narrative that certain people want me to express, but it's true. Okay. All right, where's the other part that I wanted to read to you? Okay. Let's just cut to the chase right here. The gentleman that I was telling you about that had cancer and his body was run down, one of the things that I gave him was just calf thymus extract. And so when he called me on the phone, I think he left a message this week, and I called him back. And I asked him, I said, I need you to give me your honest opinion. Are you better? And you know what he told me? He said, I am better. I feel as if I'm improving. I said, way to go. And so what is he doing? He's taking calf thymus extract. You ever heard of that? It's something to think about. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I know you have heard this. That zinc is the gatekeeper of the immune system. Maybe what I should say is more specifically, zinc is considered the gatekeeper of your immune surveillance. That's the mechanism by which white blood cells actually seek out and destroy abnormal organisms such as different types of yeast or fungus like candida. If you got a toxic bacteria in your body like a staph or E. coli or salmonella infection, oh yeah, if you have zinc, your immune system can actually recognize that you're under attack. Well, what about if it's not a bacteria or a fungus? What if it's a virus? Well, isn't that what's in the news these days, the coronavirus? Yes. And that's all hinging on whether you have zinc or not. Now, you have a choice to make here. Do you want to try to give your body the very thing it needs, meaning zinc? I'm trying to oversimplify this. I know you dig that. Of course, this is a no-brainer. Well, I mean, one option you have is you can say to yourself right now, well, I'm not taking zinc unless my doctor calls me on the phone right now and tells me he wants me to take it. Well, I think you need to come to terms with, you better be your own best health advocate. Nobody else is going to do it. So I just need you to use the wits and intelligence that God's given you, and let's use it in a constructive fashion. I would say that the vast majority of all people that I would talk to are very zinc deficient. And think of it this way. If there's over 600 enzymes in the human body that require adequate amount of zinc for them to work and do their job, you know what's going to happen if you don't have adequate zinc? Yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of healing and repairs and enzymes that ain't going to be able to work. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have a cancer or tumor cell? Guess what? If you have zinc, then these T cells from your thymus gland can actually recognize it as a tumor and start eating it for breakfast. In this one study, zinc supplementation raises the human thymus hormone levels by fivefold. That is huge. Okay? It goes on to say that zinc deficiency not only results in the involution of the thymus gland, from the size of a walnut to the size of a pea with advancing age. You know what involution means? It means shrinkage. So, or another word that I would probably want to use would be atrophy. If you're zinc deficient, it's a given. Your thymus gland is going to shrink and shrivel up. And you know what? How useful would your muscles be if they were only 1/25 the size that they should be? Well, you're going to be real weak. Simple as that. You can't expect your muscles to work right when you're weak, when they're weak. You need them to be the normal size. Okay. Let me share this with you right here. There are published reports of prolonged remissions of cancer among zinc-supplemented patients. Well, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what if the thymus gland, and when I say the thymus gland, I mean the thymus gland, not necessarily a different part of the body. I think you get what I mean here. But your thymus gland shrinks. It cannot do its job. It cannot work properly when you're lacking zinc. Does that make sense? So there are published reports of prolonged remissions of cancer among zinc supplemented patients. I don't know if you know what that means, baby, but if you want to survive cancer, you better have an immune system that can work better than what it was working when you developed cancer. Listen to this right here. The most remarkable one is the report of 57.8 months. That's basically almost a five-year survival. You know, I like rounding everything up, so I should have said report of 60 months, but in the study it said 57.8. So, the most remarkable is the report of a 57.8 month, that's almost a five-year survival, when metastatic melanoma, that means a melanoma that is spread from its original growing location on the skin to different body parts. That ain't good. So, when melanoma patients were given thymosin A, that's thymus extract, okay? It's a hormone from the thymus gland. That's what I'm talking about here. Do you know what the survival was without the thymus extract? Oh, my goodness. 7.4 months. Oh, my goodness. These cancer patients that had the metastatic or malignant melanoma, they lived easily 50 months plus longer when they were given thymus extract. Man, this is huge. I don't care if nobody ever tells you this. You think you're going to wait for your your oncologist to give you permission to take zinc? It ain't going to happen. You have to be responsible for yourself. Now listen to this right here. This is crazy. In a human study among 196 patients given zinc versus 71 who received no zinc. All right, now just hear this out. I realize I'm kind of switching gears to a different organ and system in the body, but you know what? This is huge. In a human study among 196 patients that were given zinc versus 71 that didn't get zinc, liver function deteriorated among the patients who received no zinc over a three-year period. Incidence of liver cancer was 24.9% among the patients given no zinc versus 9.5% among patients given supplemental zinc. You know what destroys zinc levels in the body? Actually, it probably destroys everything. You want to destroy your nutrients? Then drink a lot of alcohol. That'll do it every single time. Let's go ahead and go to the phone line since somebody's trying to call. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you very much for your phone call. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have some questions for you.
You better make them easy. I don't know about highly complicated questions.
Well,
I was just joking. Go ahead.
I hear you. I have fatty liver.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually NASH now, but so I just had lab work done with my rheumatologist, and my AST is 50, my ALT is 53.
And that's not horrible. It's really not. But it's not great.
And my alkaline phosphatase is 161.
Well, that means you got a problem.
Yeah, and it's up from back in August.
Well, what do you want to see happen here? What would make you happy?
Well, back in August, it was 153, 40, and 39. I'd like to get everything back into the normal range. Because I've been trying to do intermittent fasting, where I just get breakfast or supper. But my number is just higher than it was.
Okay, here's what you have to do. We got to start dissolving some of that fat that's built up in your liver. Because when you have all that fat that builds up in your liver, it prevents the liver from doing its job, which is to be a most excellent factory and filter. And so I've got to convince you that you need to start consuming some lemon juice. Now, do you know what would be easy for me to say?
What's that?
Why don't you just buy a masticating juicer for $100? It's a kind of a juicer that has this screw-type auger in it, but it just very, very slowly, and I would say without heat, which is important to me because that destroys nutrients. If you were to run 3 or 4 ribs of celery and maybe 1 carrot or 2, an apple, lemon juice, and some ginger, and maybe a little bit of parsley or kale, what you'll start doing is you'll start scrubbing and cleaning that liver of all that gunky debris and fat that's built up in it. The liver just can't work right as long as it's full of fat. And so let's dissolve it and break it down. You could literally start drinking celery juice with a lemon. Now, do you know what a hawksbill paring knife is? It looks like it's got a curved blade like the beak of a hawk. I love those knives because you can easily go around a lemon and just remove the outer part of the peel, but what you want to do is leave as much of the pith as possible. Does that make sense?
Okay, and then juice that?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay.
I can tell you right now, if you did like maybe the next 4 things that I'm telling you, this is all, your fortunes are going to all turn around for the better. So, number one, start being committed to running some good, natural, life-sustaining, life-force juice through your body that can actually heal your liver.
Okay.
So if you do that, number two, the part of the equation that we're never going to be able to get around is, and let me say it this way, the liver is the only organ in the body that the rate of blood flow going into it is not equal to the rate of blood flow going out of it. So in a roundabout way, your liver is kind of like a big honking sponge. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so if a person is very, very sedentary, meaning they just sit around, you know, 10, 11 hours a day and don't really get a lot of exercise or a lot of movement, they're probably only going to filter about 200 gallons of blood a day through their liver. That's what the studies show. But if you get up and you move your body and you go for a 30-minute walk or a 45-minute walk, you're probably going to get about 2,000 gallons of blood a day run through your liver. Now, this is just my way of saying it. The faster that blood is able to move throughout your body, the cleaner your body's going to be every single time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when you're up and you're moving and you're walking fast and you're doing yard work and you're doing, you know, chores around the house or you're going for a walk in the country, you're speeding the rate of blood flow because blood is what carries an ocean of nutrients and oxygen to all the cells in the body. The liver is just part of it. But I'm telling you, if there is one organ that can totally heal and rejuvenate, it is the liver. So that's that. Okay, number next. I need to convince you that vegetables are good and grains are bad. I don't really mean that in a diabolical sense. But the sooner that you set your mind like Flint that you're not going to eat grain, this is the day that your liver is going to heal.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to be a rude, mean ogre jerk person by telling you what you can and you can't eat. But you know, you're asking me, so I think I need to be honest with you. Be committed to eating one salad a day. If you tell me that's not a heavy enough for you, then start eating sweet potatoes and avocados with it. I was at Drug Emporium yesterday, and on the shelf there was a salad dressing. When I turned the label around and looked at it, the first ingredient was like organic apple cider vinegar. I said, oh, so far so good. And then it said organic extra virgin olive oil. I'm going, dude, this could work. And then it said it contained ginger. And I said, oh my goodness, can this get any better? And then they put sesame seeds in it. And so I'm trying to think of the name of it. What was the name of it? I think it was by a company called Bragg's. You ever heard of that?
Okay. Yeah, for example, butter vinegar, yeah.
But what I want you to do is I don't want you to tell anybody about this because I'm very selfish. I want it all for myself. And if you tell people about this vinegar marinade salad dressing, then everybody's going to run to the store and buy it because they're going to want to improve their liver and their health too. You know I'm joking, don't you?
You never know.
No, I'm not. Seriously. Anybody that wants to go and buy that and start putting on a salad... Okay. We can start rejuvenating the body. I use a supplement called Hepatrophin PMG when the liver's in a bad way. I think that you need to fall in love with milk thistle. If I could talk you into consuming 3 cups of dandelion tea a day, I have done my job. Dandelion root tea is phenomenal.
3 times a day?
Absolutely.
Okay,
actually, you could do it 6 times a day if you want to.
Okay, well, I actually have some of that. I have the...
Wait a second. Did I just say that? Did I just suggest to you that if you did 6 cups a day, you might get well sooner? Who do I think I am?
Okay, I was doing it once a day. So.
No, listen, that's good. I am going to praise you for doing that because that is a move in the right direction. And you are far better off once a day than no times a day.
Now, can I, like... a concentrated amount of it and, you know, put it like in a glass jar to make like a quart of it.
You can do whatever you want. If you want to go dig up some dandelion roots right now, and I can tell you, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. That stuff grows in soil like nothing else. The more of that root that you get... I don't care if, you know, one of the things that's very, very good for the liver is eating those bitter greens. So dandelion greens are awesome. I remember years ago a lady was telling me that when she was a little girl growing up, a lot of times during the summertime and the spring, she would walk down the country road and all the ditches on the side of the road, and she would pick greens so they could have salad for supper. Well, that probably made the difference between them eating something versus not enough. So I thought that was pretty cool. But lemon juice is absolutely one of the most phenomenal solvents and cleaners of the human body. It's incredible what it can do if you take it consistently over time. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I haven't always been consistent, so yes.
Well, and, you know, bless you for saying that. At least you're living in reality, and so what we want is the three universal healers are going to be time, patience, and consistency. Obviously, there's a plan involved with this, and so if you set your mind that you're going to start exercising in a very significant manner every day, then you're going to get results. If you stay with this intermittent fasting where your body produces the word called autophagy, where it starts eating all the gunky debris in the liver and cleaning it out, you could literally start becoming renewed every single day. What do you think about the idea of you renewing yourself every single day? It can be done.
It sounds good. I have another question for you.
Okay.
So I've been trying to take what is this called? It's desiccated liver by Ancestral Supplements.
is it really called Industrial Supplements?
Ancestral.
Oh, sorry, I butchered that one. I thought you said industrial.
I'd be kind of scared of that one.
Well, it kind of caught me off guard, yeah. And so, desiccated liver, yes. And as far as I can tell you, if you wanted to make a meatloaf tonight for your husband, how is he going to know if you take half of a liver and grind in with the ground beef and make meatloaf? Throw in your bell peppers and your onions and all your seasonings. He won't even notice it.
Well, this was the pills.
No, I know that, but what do you think people have been doing for the last 3 million years? I made that up. I should say like 12,000. But they've been eating calf liver. Calf liver has everything that you need.
I don't like calf liver.
Don't talk back to me, woman. I want you to say I love calf liver.
But my grandmother loved calf liver, and she lived to be 101. And said,
boy, what can we learn from that? Well, you know, what I started with this morning is those Russians that took thymus gland extract from a calf, they lived 8 years longer than those that did not. I'm going, oh, that is huge. If you had told me they lived a year longer, I still would have believed it's huge. And so when you tell me that your grandmother would eat calf liver, well, then she is one smart cookie. 101. That's an incredible story.
Yes, and that's why I was asking you that, because I listened to you talk about the astronauts and the thymus.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, if taking the pill form of the liver is what's going to do it for you, I don't care if you're taking Carter's little liver pills. Whatever the delivery system is to get inside of you, I'm good with that. I'm not judging you. I think you're doing great. The fact that you're moving forward in a good direction, that impresses me. So keep up the good work. I was just trying to say, if you wanted to maybe blend in a little bit of calf liver with ground beef to make a meatloaf or some meatballs, I wouldn't complain about that.
I might attempt that.
You wouldn't even notice it anyway. I mean, do you have a daughter?
No.
Do you have a son?
Yes.
Your son could make meatballs for you and say, hey, Mom, come over for dinner. I'm trying a new recipe. And afterwards, he would say, so, Mom, what'd you think about my meatloaf? And you would say, man, that was really tasty. And he goes, really? It really was tasty? Yeah. Did you know that I put calf liver in it just for you, Mom? Excuse me? It could be as simple as that. And that's the whole reason why, if you can fall in love with using herbs and spices to season your food, you can adjust your body. You can do all this. It's all doable. Liver is an amazing superfood.
Okay, I have one last question, and I'll let you get on with other folks. I have some Spanish black radish. Do I need to take that? Because I've read where some say yes, some say no.
I say yes.
And how?
Well, orally.
Okay. I'm trying to be careful how I say this.
Well, then say it.
Well, would I do like one a day? And do I, would I take it in the evening or in the morning?
You know, that's that particular plant that you just mentioned is called the Spanish black radish. You can actually buy seeds for that, and you can grow it in your garden if you want to. Now,
yeah.
In saying that, I have had more women make the comment to me, unsolicited. It's not because I asked them the intelligent question, like, what do you think about that? But I've had so many women tell me, they'd say, Dr. Morgan, when I take the Spanish black radish, I just feel good all over. And I'm thinking, man, what can I learn from this? That's good. I would take a lot of it if it were me.
Okay.
More than, is it capsule or tablet?
I want to say it's a pill.
Well, but I know, is it in capsule form?
No, it's
or
in
is
a
it
pill.
Pressed together? Is it small?
It's small. I got it from a Dr. Morgan.
Oh, then probably what you want to do is you want to take about 9 of those a day now that I know what the metrics are.
Yeah, because it's by standard processing.
Yeah. And see, okay. That's organic Spanish black rice. Boy, does that stuff smell strong, too.
It does. It reminds me of garlic.
Yeah, it does, because it's got that high sulfur content. Always want to remind everyone that when people consume sulfur, high sulfur foods, they live a whole lot longer. And so technically, the state in the United States that has the most heart disease, obesity, diabetes, coronary heart attacks, surgeries, that's Mississippi. They absolutely have the lowest sulfur content of any soil on the planet. But if you go to a state like Oregon that has high sulfur content, well, lo and behold, guess who has the least amount of arthritis? And the lowest cancer rate in the U.S. And the least amount of diabetes. Just, it's incredible. The body needs sulfur. And one of the reasons you need sulfur is I've got to compel you and convince you that your body is a solar-charged battery. And if you have sulfur in your body, and then you expose your body to sunlight, all of a sudden your body starts producing energy. Is it possible that you have too much energy right now? The answer is no.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, the number at the radio station right now is 903-586-5257. And there's a phone line open if you want to call. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you so much. Thank you, God, I got through.
Oh, you did. Way to go.
I called you a while back and talked to you about trigger fingers. And I've been using the iodine supplement in this liquid.
Okay. How many milligrams are you taking?
Well, I'm taking 3 drops and sometimes 4 drops. But
what does it translate to as far as milligrams?
Let me have a look.
Because, and the reason I'm asking is I always think that I've got to get somewhere between 6 and 12 to get a really good result with those trigger fingers, as in 6 to 12 milligrams.
Oh, my gosh. Well, 3 drops is 150 micrograms.
Well, and it's good that we're talking about this. So let me go back to the topic of people living on the island of Okinawa, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They probably average, because of their consumption of sea vegetables and seafood and maybe even vegetables grown near the ocean, they average about 12 milligrams, not micrograms, but milligrams.
That's a lot.
It is. Well, I don't know. Let me rephrase it. Maybe what I'm saying is that the people on Okinawa, they have figured out how to take just enough, which is a different way of saying it. And so it may be that your body has a much higher need for iodine than what we have been taught.
Yeah.
So just consider that. That's all I want you to do.
Tell me that number again. I'm writing it down.
12 milligrams.
12 milligrams, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not making that up.
Mm-hmm. You see, I had, well, about 11 months ago in February, well, we were doing fine. We had some, we had a house, new house was being built over the wintertime, and we got some kind of flu. My husband got it, and then 3 days later I got it. But, and I hit myself with oxaloxacinum and...
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And everything I could think of, and I had 101 degrees for 19 hours, and then the high fever went away.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, of course I had fatigue, and even since then, you know, in my last checkup, the nurse practitioner said, we think there might be a lot of people that had COVID that we don't know for sure, you know. Well, 6 weeks after that, we were fine, and we gave blood. So, and that was about March 16th, before they were locking everything down. So our blood went tested for COVID, and somebody got some good antibodies. And that's just the one time of the year I probably get up to enough, you know, 110 pounds to weigh enough to give blood. But it's good. I've got a positive. Anyway, then my hands started hurting really bad, just worse than they ever had. And I've had trigger thumb and the pain in my left one, pain in my right one, the year before, and had cortisone shot in each. But it just got worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, long story short, tenosynovitis and trigger thumb surgery. I mean, tenosynovitis and in my left thumb and carpal tunnel surgery in my left hand.
Right.
In May.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody, by the way. It's very painful.
The tenosynovitis, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every time you shake hands with an older man from church, you feel like your wrist is going to be ripped to shreds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just had to have something done. They tried another cortisone, didn't work. And the right hand, I had. Then in June, well, they did the study on both hands. I had both wrists. I had carpal tunnel in both hands.
You know what I do for tenosynovitis?
Well, I had surgery for it.
But what I recommend is people rub lemon juice, fresh lemon juice, on it about 10 times a day.
Okay.
I know this is after the fact, but just in case somebody's listening.
Yes. Well, this thumb is now having trigger thumb.
Well, that's because you have some adhesions and some scarring that's building up.
Oh, let me tell you. I'm desperate now. But after the first surgery, then I had carpal tunnel and trigger thumb surgery in the right hand.
Well, you're definitely doing something.
I know. I'm trying to.
I know. Okay. So, can I ask you a personal question?
The only surgery I had, but go ahead.
I know, but are you completely pleased with the doctor's recommendations to do surgery?
Well, I don't really want any more surgery on my hands.
Well, that's not the question I'm asking you. Are you happy with the results that you've gotten?
Well, I can say I'm not happy with the way my hands are doing now.
Okay, well, we'll just leave it at that, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What do you want to do? What do you want?
Well, I'm having the trigger finger.
I got that. You tell me, what do you want to accomplish? This is just going to lead you to another hand surgery where they can scrape and do it all over again. I mean, is that really what you want?
No.
Okay, then. Let's take off on a different track. Get yourself a hand paraffin bath. Start using that sucker every single day.
Hand paraffin bath. Okay.
I can't imagine them costing more than $19.95 on Amazon or, you know, a pharmacy. I don't know. It's a hand paraffin bath. If you want to even doctor the sucker up, you can add some essential oils to it, whatever you want. Because it's a gold mine. Number two, start helping these tendon sheaths by rubbing fresh lemon juice on them.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of chlorophyll before?
Oh, yeah.
Chlorophyll, and there's just not even enough time to even flesh out the topic of chlorophyll. It's got to be one of the most amazing topics in the universe. I can't believe I said it that way. There's other things that are more amazing. But, I mean, chlorophyll, it has such a healing, energetic potential for the human body. Now, I know there's people, all they do is just eat a certain way where they never get any chlorophyll, meaning they never eat green vegetables. Well, it's their loss. But you got to have chlorophyll to energetically heal something that's not healing. And so if you take unfiltered extra virgin olive oil and you pour some in your hand and you go, man, that's kind of like a greenish yellow color. Well, that's what we want because it contains chlorophyll. So I'm a fan of putting lemon juice and chlorophyll over tendons and tendon sheets that are very inflamed. But the other thing that I know, something's not working right with your kidneys, or you wouldn't have this problem in your hands.
Well, I'm trying to figure that out because I also...
Well, let me say it differently.
Okay.
Yes, you can try to figure that out, but what you really need is you need somebody to give you a very clear direction now. If we wait until it's figured out, and this is no fault against you, but there's no way that you could have the level of experience and sophistication because you haven't devoted the last 35 years of your life to studying the kidneys. I know somebody that has, though.
Okay.
And so, you know what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you.
I'm writing it down. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
You're going to have to, if you've already devoted yourself to going and hearing what the surgeon has to say, and he says surgery, okay, where has that led you? Well, you're maybe not being the best place of all time. But nutrition is the key to healing your body, and it's going to take more than just a brief phone call to kind of get all this fleshed out in the right direction. It's going to take a little bit of work and time and effort.
I can't imagine what was going on with my kidneys because I've never had trouble with my kidneys.
I can totally tell by the way that you're answering the question, but you need to trust me on this. I'm telling you that your kidneys aren't working right. Now, I could be wrong about that, but every time that I examine a patient with hand problems like this, I always find the kidneys are weak. Now, that's a whole different scenario than saying that you've got a kidney disease like Bright's disease or renal failure. But you got to understand something here. The kidneys are the most elegant, sophisticated filters of your blood. And if they're not working properly, the net result is you're going to have a whole bunch of debris that builds up in your tendons of your hands and your joints. And so you're going to have to choose to trust me on that. If you don't, then that's fine too. That's your call. But I'm telling you from what I experience, and, you know, I'm not really great at everything, but I'm really good at observation because I see patterns. And I don't know that I have to be a genius at this, but I see the same stuff over and over again. So I have pattern recognition. So when somebody tells me there's something going on with their hands, I start thinking, okay, we're going to figure this out. And so I just need you to be very open-minded. There may be something that's kind of beating your kidneys down a little bit. I didn't say you had kidney disease. And so if you have the mindset, the only way that I can consider this is if I have like a kidney stone and kidney failure, well, I'm not really communicating very well then. I need you to be open to the idea that we could clean and heal and strengthen and repair your kidneys where they can do their job.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Were you born from the womb with all these tenosynovitis and Dupuytren's contractures? Were you?
No, I'm just overusing them.
No, and that's where you're wrong again. You cannot overuse the hands. They are designed for the most use of all time. But in your mind, you're probably thinking, well, I've overused my hands. No. You got too much inflammation. That part's true. Unless we address where the inflammation's coming from, you're never going to move the needle the way that you want.
Well, I probably need to come by and see you then.
Probably a really good idea. But you know what I say? You can't. What did Teddy Roosevelt say? He said, I can either wear the body out or I could let it deteriorate, which means I just do nothing and it just goes south from there. He said, I'd rather wear the body out. But my experience is, if you take good care of yourself, I really don't think, unless you're doing something abusive, that you're going to wear your hands out. They're designed to last for 120 years, maybe longer.
Oh, wow, yeah, almost half that to go.
Well, then we want the second half of your life to be better than the last
because
few years.
I pick green lettuce out of my flower pots every day.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
I'm growing Swiss chard. I picked that out of my bed, my trough bed. I maybe I'm not getting out and getting the sunshine enough.
How many rounds of antibiotics have you had in your lifetime?
I could probably count it on one hand.
Okay. Here's the issue. If a doctor took some of those calcified nodules from your hand and they put them in a microscope, we would find out one thing. You have this excessive buildup of a substance called oxalic acid or calcium oxalate.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Your kidneys are the gatekeeper for oxalate. And when you take antibiotics, it kills off a type of a bacteria that normally prevents all this. It's called oxalobacter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pathway through this if you want to. But in the meantime, get yourself a hand paraffin bath. Start rubbing fresh lemon juice on your hands. Probably
castor oil?
No, olive oil.
No, not castor oil, olive oil.
Yeah, because we want the chlorophyll. You want the oil in this situation to probably have more green chlorophyll in it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll have to give you a call during the week come in, because I don't want any more surgery. I had surgery on my foot in December for calcium buildup between the big toe and the foot. It's been going on for about 3 years.
You don't even know how ridiculously easy you're making my job right now. Every time you add to the story, it just proves that I'm right.
Well,
I just talked to you about calcium oxalate. Now you're telling me it was removed from your foot.
Being put in under surgery 3 times in 7 months, to me, that's just too much.
Let me be brutally honest with you. Your brain is going to break down because of all that anesthesia. No one survives anesthesia. It always causes memory loss. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't.
I know it's short time, like 10 or 15 minutes, but it builds up, you know. Like
I respect what you're saying. 10 minutes is by far better than 12 hours under anesthesia. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But they know that anesthesia, it completely destroys the B12 in the brain and the vitamin B1, and that's what they think is related to the memory loss. Just like if somebody drinks a huge amount of alcohol and they totally black out and they lose their memory. Well, they know now it's because it destroys the vitamin B1 and B12 in the brain, and you can't have memory without that stuff. I'm just saying, if we can kind of get you into a good place where you feel like, oh my goodness, I've made some great progress, I've got my life back, that's what I want you to focus on instead of, well, it was only 3 surgeries this last year and 4 the next year.
Oh, no.
Okay, you can do it. All these things are very reasonable. I totally believe in you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll give you a call during the week, and I don't know how long your waiting list is, but
it's not long.
I will cancel my appointment with the surgeon.
Well, you know what I want to run toward? Let's run toward healing.
Yeah.
I think that's hard for a person to have enough courage to do that under modern times, because there's such faith that a surgery is going to be a panacea. And a new drug is going to save me. You know what? The bottom line is God has designed the body to heal if you can just create the right circumstances. Run toward healing. Run toward the light, woman.
Yeah. Well, until then, I think I might go stick my foot in the water bucket where the snow melted off and see if that feels good to you.
That's a great plan. I'm all for that, too.
I've been walking outside barefooted. I mean, I'm walking on my foot.
You were walking on your foot. That's good to know.
Well, thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Talk to
you later. Bye-bye.
All right, it can be done. It can be done. But you may have to take a step back and you have to retool and say, okay, what can I do to improve this situation? It can be done. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to ask you a question, and I need to hang up. Can you tell me what things to look for, like if somebody needs to know if their gut bacteria is bad or good? I mean, can you give me a few evidence both sides?
Yeah, it's pretty low tech.
Okay,
if a,
I'm
gonna,
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
No, yeah, thank you.
So if when you go to the bathroom to have a bowel movement, if the width of your bowel movement is about, three of your fingers wide, that's a pretty good sign. If it's about 10 inches long to maybe 12, that's a really good sign. If it's brown, that's another good sign. If it don't stink like all get out, that's another good sign. If you go with tissue paper to clean yourself and there's nothing to wipe off from your bottom, I know that's kind of crude, that's a really, really good sign. So large, well-formed, smooth, continuous, very little to clean afterwards, that it's all good. That's what you call good, high-quality poop. And so that's going to be an indication of what the flora is like in your gut. Now, if you tell me that you continually have tummy aches and tummy pain, loose, watery, broken pieces of poop that comes out, diarrhea, that's not a good sign that you have flora. I'm continually trying to compel and convince people that you've got to start consuming prebiotic-rich foods. That's going to be stuff like, and what a prebiotic means is, if you consume it, that's what encourages good bacteria to grow. So, have you ever heard of eating an apple a day keeps a doctor away? Yeah, there you go. There's one of them right there. Eating fermented foods is a major home run. And for some people, that could be as simple as pickles and pickled okra and pickled beets. Let me see, what else is pickled? Let me think for a second. Oh, yeah. You might actually get some raw sauerkraut or some raw kimchi. That is how you do it. If you want to recondition your body, then you got to do those things that it's going to take and require to have a healthy gut lining. I don't know if I mentioned on the radio a couple weeks ago, but I came across this one unique study, and they said they could completely predict if an older person was going to have horrible health problems just by examining the flora or the microbiome from their gut. And so if somebody has a huge die-off of good beneficial bacteria and they have a huge loss, then their health is going downhill. Another way that I would say this is, if a person has cancer, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, mental illness, maybe I should emphasize mental illness. I haven't seen one case where somebody has had a diagnosable mental illness where there hasn't been a huge flora imbalance. Oh my word. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a neurotransmitter given the name serotonin. When your brain is bathed in serotonin, you are the happiest person of all time. The stress and anxiety leave you, but when you have a lack of serotonin, you're going to have a whole bunch of anxiety, panic attacks, depression, bipolar, just kind of fill in the blank there. 95% of all your serotonin is manufactured in your gut. Do you know that? It is. And so when you have a healthy gut, your potential to make even something as simplistic sounding as serotonin, I know it's not simplistic, but when you have a lack of serotonin, you will wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in your bed and you'll start thinking, oh my goodness, today is not going to go well. I do not see how this is going to work out. I've got to deal with these difficult people. It's going to go in a very negative fashion. I don't like this. Okay, that's low serotonin. When you've got plenty of good serotonin, you can tell everything is going to go really well. I've really enjoyed being with you today. My name is Dr. Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.